Once every 3 years, on the 28th Sunday of the year, we hear about the dramatic conversion story of Naaman the Syrian. I'm under the opinion that this is one of the most important stories in the Old Testament. Even Jesus makes a specific reference to it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 27. It is a story about faith, baptism, and right worship. I think it would be an excellent movie. We hear about Naaman's full conversion story every year on Monday of the third week of Lent. It's from the Old Testament, from the second book of Kings, chapter 5. That can be your reading assignment and homework for later this afternoon. The second book of Kings, chapter 5. Naaman the Syrian is the army commander of the king of Aram. Aram is a region north of the Sea of Galilee, whose capital is Damascus. Naaman was a highly esteemed and respected army captain. He had won many victories in battle, but as valiant as he was a leper. In one of his many battles, the Arameans had captured from the land of Israel a little girl who became the servant of Naaman's wife. The Israelite girl told Naaman's wife, "If only my master Naaman would present himself to the prophet in Israel, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman says, "What? I can actually be healed of my leprosy? You've got to be kidding. I think it's worth a try." So with the king of Aram's permission, Naaman and his whole retinue, his whole entourage of servants and attendants, travels south to Israel, whose capital city is Samaria, to meet with Elisha, the prophet. Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha the prophet comes out and tells Naaman, "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh will heal, and you will be clean." But Naaman was furious. "You've got to be kidding. I thought the prophet would surely come out and stand there to invoke the Lord his God, and would move his hand over the spot, and poof! Cure the leprosy. Are not the rivers of Damascus, the Abanon, the Farfar, better than all the waters of Israel?" And of course, Naaman is right? The muddy waters of the Jordan are no match for the mountain spring, beautiful, crystal clear waters of Damascus. "Could I not wash in them and be cleansed?" In his anger, he stormed out. But his servants reasoned with him, "If the prophet had told you to do something extraordinary, would you not have done it? All the more now, since he said of you, 'Wash and be clean,' should you do as he said?" If the prophet had asked you to do something extraordinary, wouldn't you have done it all the more now when he asks you to do something ordinary, common? Interesting, isn't it? How often we say, "Well, for God to heal me, I must go on pilgrimage to Lourdes and bathe in the waters. In order for God to heal me, I have to walk 500 kilometers to Santiago de Compostela and walk the last mile on my knees. In order to get rid of every evil in my life, only the bishop can extend his hand, wave it over me, and then I will be healed." Maybe God is just asking me to do something ordinary, like go to Mass every single Sunday. Just that simple. How many people want salvation? Everybody raises their hand. Well, then plunge yourself in the waters of baptism. How many people want to live forever? If you ask anybody on the planet, who wants to live forever? Everybody raises their hand. And then Jesus says, "Well, then eat my flesh and drink my blood." How many people want to be truly wise, filled with brilliant knowledge and understanding? Then submit yourself to being confirmed by the bishop. You want your sins forgiven? "Oh yeah, Father." Well, then confess your sins to a Roman Catholic priest. How many people refuse to come to Jesus to have life? He doesn't ask us to do something extraordinary, just something ordinary. How often do we want to receive the blessings of God, but refuse the manner in which he wishes to give the gift? Although Naaman's servants invited him to make a leap of faith, only Naaman could actually do it. And he did. So Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan River 7 times at the word of the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And what happens next is absolutely glorious, miraculous, some might say. The River Jordan, as you know, is 35 to 40 miles from the city of Samaria. That's about the distance from Rochester to Owatonna. And so having washed in the Jordan, Naaman takes his whole retinue, all the chariots, all the horses, all of his servants, and they go 40 miles back to Samaria. And glorifying the one true God in a loud voice, he said, "Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. No longer will I offer holocausts or sacrifices to any other God but to the Lord." This is incredible. I mean, he could have attributed his healing to Elisha and said, "Oh, thank you so much, Elisha." He could have attributed his healing to one of many gods, right? "Your God in Israel has a special charism for healing from leprosy." Not Naaman. He said, "Now I know there is no God in all the earth except here in Israel. I will no longer offer holocausts or sacrifices to any other God except the one true God." Naaman is converted. He is converted to worshiping the one true God. How do we know? Because Naaman asks Elisha for 2 mule loads of earth. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, really? I want 2? That's what I'm asking for? 2 mule loads of earth? What's so special about dirt from Israel? Remember, Naaman was a pagan, a Gentile. And pagan Gentiles considered the power of pagan gods associated with a locality. You were closest to that particular god and his power when you were in his territory. So watch what's happening. Naaman wanted to give thanks and praise for his cure by offering sacrifice on an altar built on soil from Israel. Wow. That's what's happening. Naaman wants soil, dirt from Israel, on which to build back in Aram an altar to the one true God. Isn't that glorious? So you see, what's happening is Naaman is going to give thanks to God, not by giving gold and silver, which he brought with him, which he wanted to give to the prophet Elisha. He's going to give thanks to God by giving proper worship to the one true God. This is glorious. "For now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel, for I will no longer offer holocaust and sacrifice to any other God except the Lord." You see, Naaman has a complete conversion. His faith has saved him. Naaman's faith has saved him not from leprosy, but from worshiping false gods. This is a great story. Can you see why I think this is one of the most important stories in the Old Testament? Naaman's conversion story inspires me to reject, renounce, and rebuke false gods, to abandon false gods. Naaman's story inspires me to worship the one true God. Isn't that what we do at every Mass? This isn't just a prayer service. This is the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. You see, we give thanks to God not with gold or silver, but with true, correct worship. This is exactly what we do at every Mass. We are worshiping the one true God in the manner that he wishes to be worshiped. Amen.